Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
Ah, Clint. Houston Astros hitting coach. This reported first by Bob Nightingale, Alex Cintron, who instigated the A's and Athletics. The Athletics and Astros melee Sunday has received a 20-game suspension, believed to be one of the largest against any MLB coach. That is a 20-game suspension to the hitting coach. I got no problem with it. I think we both thought that he was the one who started it. None of us. I've not heard anybody from our shows to Landry to Lopez to Seth and Sean. I've not heard anyone defend him at all. 20 games is more than what I thought, but whatever he got, he deserved.
Yeah, drop the hammer. I mean, I don't. It doesn't surprise me that 20 games is the number. I think Rob Manfred, the one thing he's making loud and clear, and you got to believe that with the fines and suspensions that have dropped after a couple of incidents, you've got to believe that there was a message relayed before the season started, probably strongly relayed multiple times at the beginning of the season when they restarted, that this was not going to be tolerated. And I think Joe Kelly, the Dodgers pitcher that threw at several Astros, I think he pushed multiple buttons that could have resulted in either a face-to-face altercation with one player, between two players, or a bench-clearing brawl, which ultimately it ended up, they didn't brawl, but they all cleared the benches. With the COVID-19 component to this thing, that's just not going to be tolerated. And anytime, whether you're pushing buttons and a brawl doesn't ever break out, you're going to get fined. If you push buttons and a brawl does break out to where the social distancing aspect that the league is trying so tirelessly to implement and to make sure these guys stick to those guidelines, if you cause that social distancing aspect rule to be broken by multiple guys, by instigating a fight, I don't care if it's player on player, the league is going to drop the hammer on you. And when you add to it that this is a hitting coach that instigated and pushed buttons to
really instigated.
Big time.
I mean, there's rumors he spoke and said something very, very across the line about Ramon Laureano's mother. From just what we saw, pulling up his pants leg, coming up to the stop, telling him, come on.
Yeah.
All that, yeah. That's a victim. By the way, Laureano got 6 games as well for the A's for charging him.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the guy I feel for. I mean, for me, it's one of those where I've seen this happen in over the years in high school and college and in the NFL. Obviously, there's never been the COVID-19 component that's there now, which is the big elephant in the room of why this thing is completely unacceptable to have any face-to-face confrontation. But It just disgusts me when a coach at any level chirps and talks trash and instigates from the dugout or from the base coach box from anywhere across the diamond to the point where a player loses his cool. Liriano clearly was handling it in a way of where he wasn't losing his cool. He was making hand gestures at the pitcher, but he was walking towards
first base.
And everybody
else on the field was
handling it. All the players were handling it as well as they possibly could, and a coach in the dugout running his mouth and going beyond running his mouth, stepping out of the dugout. Come on, man. You're a coach. Stay your ass in the dugout. And I don't even like Dusty popping off at Joe Kelly. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and especially man, your team was in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, your guy, that's the third time he got hit. The third time he got hit, I believe you get to act however you want to act. You done got hit three times.
You can do
times.
Whatever you want.
You can go run after him. You can go, like, you want to make a stand-up comedian like Laureano did on the way down. You get to. Nah, you don't get to come out. At least when Dusty told Joe Kelly to get his little ass back on, and I'm trying to use the words that Dusty didn't use, to get his little ass back on the mound. I mean, Joe Kelly's out here throwing at folks.
Yeah, but I mean, my point though, show is like, little friendly trash talk. You know, that's cool if you want to. If you want
to, mama.
But stand up on the top of the dugout, talk about come on, like physically invite somebody over, and then push a button by saying something about his mother or something that in his country where he was raised, you knew was going to push a button. I mean, to me, that's one of the most disgusting thing in team sports is when coaches get involved, whether it's football from the sideline with a player or this incident with a hitting coach from the dugout with a player. It's just like, come on, man. You're supposed to be the calming force. You're supposed to be the authority figure. You're supposed to keep guys in line and keep them from getting fined. That's one of the most disgusting thing in sports is when stuff like this happens.
You know, and I want to say this. I'm a fair man, and no hill hasn't frozen over. But I give credit to Rob Manfred.
What'd you just do?
To Robert Manfred. Robert Duane Manfred Jr. I didn't know Rob had this in him to go and get 20 games and another 6 to this guy. Rob is serious about this. Y'all gonna stop making us look bad with this coronavirus and acting like we're not. We already got the Marlins doing stupid stuff. We already got that kid from Cleveland, the pitcher from Cleveland, who went out and did things in the Cubs or in the Cardinals, excuse me. He's not playing around. I think a lot of this had to do with safety.
Did you see those? Speaking of those two pitchers that did it, was Clevenger and Plaxy or Plasky or something
Dan,
like that?
Dan Plesak's son.
Plesak. Yeah, those two did a something for the governor, and it was a social distancing commercial.
Don't be a knucklehead.
And it was those two in it. And then those two go out together and kick it on the town.
And then Clevenger just took the flight back with his teammates, too, after going out. What a guy.
Come on.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, number 2. The story is up right now on sportsradio610.com. Check it out to the website. You can look at it. And, Clint, the NCAA's Big Ten Conference on Tuesday, there is no speculation or anything anymore. It was officially announced that they are canceling the 2020 fall sports schedule due to the coronavirus pandemic. And yes, that includes football. Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, all of those schools right now, college football is canceled in the Big Ten this fall. And we'll see what the dominoes are next. But this is huge, huge for college football.
I hate it for the kids, man, first and foremost. I mean, before we get into what in the hell, how you make this decision before you make the delay, delay to late September. I hate that there is a huge chunk of college athletes that are going to miss a season of their college football careers. So it sucks for the players. But, show, I don't understand why the Big Ten wouldn't push the start date back to September 26th. You got to believe that all of these conferences are receiving the same information from the same medical experts. So how one conference decides to hell with it, we're just canceling, and the other one, the ACC, came out and said no.
You think they jumped the gun?
I don't know enough about what the hell's going on to know whether they jumped the gun or not. I do. When I look at how are you going to bring students back on campus and have them in classrooms together and have college students doing college student things around the town, but yet you can't have football players on campus in a football program and playing the game of football. I have a hard time wrapping my head around how it's okay to do one, or you're going to get cleared to do one, but you're not able to play the game. There's a lot of different dynamics to this, whether they're canceling or they're pushing forward to play. I think there's just a lot of different dynamics to it that it's hard to sum it all up. But for me, I just don't know how one conference goes, well, we're done, we're not playing, we're canceling, and the ACC and the SEC essentially are going, man, we're pushing forward.
Big 12's adding game.
Yeah, I just – and then you talk about, well, the big – like word on the street is with the Big Ten is they're gonna push the fall season back to – the plan is back to a spring season. So you're going to tell me that you're going to find it safe to play two seasons in an eight-month span with 18 to 22-year-olds? Like, how is that safe? I mean, how is that going to be received – by the players and by their representatives?
Yeah,
and by,
if you're gonna cancel it, just cancel it.
That's it.
To me,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I just it's just, how about this though? Just, I know many people are thinking this, but when they canceled the NCAA tournament, I was just blown away. When they canceled the NCAA tournament, never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd be sitting here. This much time has passed when college football would start, and college football would not go off. That is just, that just blows me away. I cannot believe we have not gotten a handle on this, that is not safe, that from college basketball to college football is canceled.
Yeah, that's, well, insane. I mean, to me, the fact that we're watching the Rockets and the Spurs right now, Spurs are up 118 to 93. Good Rockets God. Ain't faring real well right now, but Harden's not playing, and Gordon's not playing, so just everybody pump the brakes a little bit on stressing out here. But when you look at what the NBA's been able to do in the bubble, there's progress has been made. So when you look at what we don't have a team here, so we don't pay real close attention to the NHL, but clearly, I mean, their numbers of how many negative tests and how many days and weeks they've gone without any positive tests, I mean, it's nothing short of amazing at this point in time. So there is progress has been made. You got a couple of fools that in baseball that want to bounce around the cities and hang out and chase ladies, even though coronavirus has attacked our country. I mean, that, you know, I can understand where there's some problems there.
Yeah, it's just wild.
Big 3-3, number 3.
As Clint said, the Rockets had an early game today. I think they've got now two games left after this one, as they are getting run out of the building, and I don't even think they care. It's 118-93. They have an understanding of where they're going to be. Mike D'Antoni is getting guys rest. Danielle House was out today, as well as you mentioned, Eric Gordon and James Harden. And then tomorrow, Russell Westbrook will sit out, as he did come back and play today. But 118-93. And again, Clint, you know, P.J. Tucker did play, and he's 1 for 5 from 3.
Oh, here you go.
I'm just saying.
You got one on every team you just don't like. Josh Reddick. Josh Reddick.
I have no problem.
The Astros. Now it's P.J. Tucker.
I have no problem with Josh Reddick.
Wait till the Texans season starts to figure out who it's going to be.
I'm just saying, P.J. Tucker is 10 for 35.
He's going to be fine.
From 3.
He's going to be fine.
He just keeps saying that. He's going
to
be fine.
I mean, until you moved to Houston, he was the best three-point. He was the best.
Shut up.
He was the best shooter from the corner. It's a show curse.
When I moved to Houston, they weren't playing basketball.
I know. Before you moved to Houston, P.J. Tucker was as deadly as anybody in the league from beyond the arc in the corner.
That's just such an ass. There is no such thing as a
shooter from down
there. There is no such thing as a show curse.
Nope.
Stop trying to put
I'm
that
just
on
telling
me.
You.
That's not my fault. He's 10 for 35.
What did Reddick do last night?
He was on base, I believe. What does Reddick have to do with me? I don't do anything mean to Josh Reddick.
Yeah, every time Reddick gets a little bit of love from Dusty Baker, you got a problem.
He shouldn't be batting second. I know that much.
Well, who should?
He's got the fourth best average on the team.
Talk to him.
Because you and your wife are in love with
him. Altuve's leading off.
That's a problem. That's a problem. All right, man, two more games left. They know they're, but we just talked to Ryan McDonough. He said the best matchup for the Rockets would be the Jazz. So if they can somehow finagle their way against the Jazz, to me, I really don't care. Jazz, Nuggets, Thunder, I think the Rockets will have a really, really good chance and should be favored in all of those games. All right, man, we get to hear from the guy that Clint thinks can be very, very important to this offense. That is right tackle Titus Howard. We expect to hear from him coming up next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
As we said, to open up the show, man, we're going to hear from three very important. They may not be Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, but they are very, very important. I think, Clint, as we were talking before the show, like the reason why you know they're important, we've seen the Texans play and how good they can be when these guys are in, and these guys are Will Fuller, Titus Howard, and Bradley Roby. And then we've seen what the Texans can look like when those three guys aren't on the field. And that's a big deal. We'll hear from Titus Howard here coming up momentarily. But that is an obvious thing. We know about Will Fuller. We've heard all the numbers. You gave great numbers about how different the offense is when he's not in the game. But Roby and Titus Howard, it was pretty apparent how key they were when they were out of the game last year.
I think it's safe to say that all these guys are difference makers. I mean, all these guys allow the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, whichever side of the ball they play on, they allow that guy to freely call plays, to get creative with formations. I mean, this is a skilled offense that has a lot of players that if they're allowed, take the two backs, Duke Johnson and David Johnson. If the offensive line is in position where they can protect versus a 4- and 5-man rush, and the offensive play caller and Deshaun Watson can feel good, feel safe about get these backs out into routes, these backs can be real weapons. It's not Carlos Hyde, right? David Johnson and Duke Johnson can be real weapons versus anybody in the league if you don't have to keep them in to protect. So when you're talking about Titus Howard, obviously he's not as important as Laremy Tunsil. Obviously, he's not as important as Deshaun Watson in terms of this team winning games. But when you talk about this offense executing at the highest possible level, I always say at or above their ceiling, then Titus Howard needs to be healthy, and Titus Howard needs to be better than he was last year, better than most second-year guys in this league, and one of the better right tackles in this league. So the fact that we're fixing to hear from Titus Howard, this isn't just another offensive lineman. This is a difference maker with the Houston Texans offense. And without him, they're going to be hard-pressed to get better from last year.
Especially his important Heidens when you think old Rod Johnson and Chuck Heck is behind him. Those are the two guys that are behind him. All right, let's head out to NRG. This is right tackle Titus Howard.
My offseason went pretty good. I was mostly in the building 5 days a week, rehabbing, getting ready for the season. I got married in the offseason and back in February, so I spent a lot of time with my wife. She's pregnant now, having a baby in October. So that's how I spent my offseason. I spent it, trying to get, healthy as I can. So year two, I'll be able to play all 16 games plus the playoffs, bring some solidarity to the O-line. So I can, we can be the best unit we can be to, help Deshaun out, help the team out, be the best, offense in the NFL.
When you look at some of the things you did well, what do you hope to do to build on those? And what are some of the things that you think you can still get better at in your game?
Yeah, I feel like I did pretty good in the run game. And this year, too, I'm trying to take a step, and get better in the pass protection. So, so we can, be Deshaun, have more time back in the backfield. And, I feel like if I can get better, win the one-on-one blocks that I need to win, it's just going to only just help the team. And that's my goal for this year, to improve in pass protection so we can be better on offense.
With the continuity of the offensive line, y'all are returning the offensive line. Obviously, this is your second year. Does it feel that way, given the oddity of the offseason? Does it feel like you guys have been together for a year and y'all had that experience under your belt, or is it a little bit different because of all of the circumstances?
It feel pretty good, for all us to be back. We got a pretty close group. So, with us all being back in the building, it felt good, especially having five starters back, something I don't think has happened here in a long time or ever. So, you know, with us, keep building that chemistry is, you know, going to be the key for us. And we got all five star. Like I said, we got all five starters. And just for us to have that, you know, I know it's important for the offense, Coach Devlin, Coach O'Brien. And I'm just looking forward to see what we can do, you know, once we keep on building up these games together. I think we're going to build something pretty special.
John, go ahead.
Titus, what does it mean to you to make the all-rookie team despite missing the second half of the season? You obviously impressed the voters.
Yeah, I can't lie. I didn't think I was going to make it because I didn't play eight games. But to me, to be honest, like I wish I would have been here because, I mean, it's not to me about making all-rookie. I wish I was here to play in the playoffs so it help us, you know, beat the Chiefs. So, yeah, it felt good to me all rookie, but it would have been better for me to be able to play that second half of the season.
You were talking about building on last year, not having OTAs, although you're recovering, no preseason games. What are the challenges in not having those things as you try to build on last year? And secondly, with your family situation, was it a tough decision for you to decide to play?
At the end of the day, yeah, I got a family, but the team is my family too, so I had to think about the team. Yeah, I wanted to play. You know, I want to be here, you know, with my guys. And like I tell a lot of people, like, I feel, you know, safe coming into the building each and every day because of all the upgrades, like the team facilities made. And I feel like they taking it in the best interest of, you know, the players and how we get to go back home to our families and stuff like that. And as far as the offseason, it was. I mean, this year is going to be a lot tougher than all the other years because you didn't get a chance to do, like, the real OTAs and stuff like that, and off-season workouts, how we usually do, you know, to help you, you know, get accustomed to the game before the season actually comes. And I think that's big on, like, the rookies, you know, for them, you know, not getting a chance to get in those preseason games. But the rookies we have, you know, like, and Charlie Heck and stuff like he, you know, is picking up pretty fast. And I think that by him, you know, being a chance to, like, look up behind me and Laramie, you know, I think that's going to help him out this season a lot.
What were some things you tried to do technically, whether it was film study or some of the footwork drills that you do to become a more polished pass protector in your?
I know the offseason for me, since I wasn't able to do as much as, you know, because I was recovering from a knee injury. So I think with me, it was more film study and then watching, like, what did I do to get beat on the plays I did get beat on and how can I improve that? And, you know, looking at other guys who've been successful in the NFL before and watching how they go about pass blocking and what can I do to, you know, be on the same level as those guys because I want to be one of the greats. So I watched the greats and I got one of the best on my team at left tackle, Laramie. So I try to watch and see how patient he is, how he stay inside out. You know, Coach Devlin always, you know, coaching me to stay inside out and stuff like that. So I think for me, that's the biggest part of my game is being patient, staying inside out, and, you know, just playing a game that, you know, my coach is coaching me to play. So I think that's going to help me out in this year too. And I'm looking forward to, you know, helping my offensive line.
Okay, thank you for the time, Titus.
And by the way, I got one thing to say. Shout out to my boy, Chris Clark. Yeah, dog.
What's going on here? Can someone get to the bottom of what that means? What does the Chris Clark thing mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
Did he say Chris Clark or Rich Clark?
I think he said Chris Clark. You can talk. Chris Clark, right? What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That's an inside joke. I hate inside jokes when I don't know what the hell's going on.
What?
Hate him, man. That was Titus Howard, right tackle for the Houston Texans. And Clint, one of the things that stuck out to me, because sometimes I have to get a hold of myself, right, and I'll be like, God, am I too high on Titus Howard? Like, am I too high? Am I thinking too much? And listen, I'll be honest with you folks, full disclosure, I don't check the all-rookie teams. That's not something that I'm hunting down. But to think that he played 5.5 ball games and he made the all-rookie team and that is what people look at him and thought of him last year, no, I'm not too high on Titus Howard. I think Titus Howard, as you pointed out before he spoke, this guy's got a chance to not just take the next step in year two, but be one of the best right tackles in football. And it's almost something that I look to and expect from him.
Yeah, look, when you see the guy in person, I mean, he doesn't look like a a body that came from a small school. I mean, it doesn't look like a body that probably hasn't had the top-tier nutrition that a lot of your Power Five programs have, the top-tier training that some of your Power Fives or all of your Power Fives should have. He just doesn't look like a body that came out of a small school that didn't have the best of the best nutrition, training, and coaching. And so you go, hey, this guy clearly has some serious natural ability and some natural size and skill set that is just a rare combination. And when you hear him talk, you can hear some youth in there and in a sense of referring to Laramie Tunsil like he's a Hall of Famer, 10-year, 12-year vet already. But I like that. I like a guy that acknowledges his teammates, acknowledges the guys that he looks up to. He watches films of the greats because he wants to be one of the greats.
I love that.
He's not worried about all rookie team because he wants to be healthy and play 16 to 18 games and help his team, not only in the playoffs, but help them specifically beat the Chiefs. So I love a young cat that has all the God-given ability in this world, all the God-given size in this world, that appears to have his mind together and in the right place and the right people around him. This is a critical part to the Texans moving forward, and it appears that he's got the stars are starting to align for this young fella.
I love to hear that. We just heard from Titus Howard, right tackle for the Houston Texans. I loved him talking about he wants to be one of the greats. That's what he's in for. And understanding he plays with one of the best in the game. And we talked about it all offseason. Man, what's the impact? That's the next step for Laramie Tunsil. What's the impact that he has on other guys? And it is clear that he is a line of communication that Titus Howard feels comfortable going to him. And he has physically been helping Titus Howard to be the best that he can be. So you got to love that from both of them. Titus Howard should be one of the best right tackles in football. All right, coming up, maybe the second most important player on the Texans defense. He will speak to the media next. Bradley Roby, cornerback Bradley Roby. We expect to hear from him coming up next.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, is this Cody Johnson?
Nope.
Damn, it ain't.
Little turnpike for you, baby.
Did you hear that?
Are you guys ganging up on me again? Is that what this is?
No, it's just great music. It's Turnpike Troubadours. I didn't know. I can't tell when he's talking on air when he's just in my ear. I look at you, and half the time
you see how frustrated he is by this.
Well, I mean, I look at you, and you've got that lost look on your face, and I'm like, "What just happened?" So I'm on an island over here. I'm on Revis Island over here.
Go to Revis Island. You're on Revis Island. Here's a good segue to the business right here. Revis Island. Speaking of that, maybe it'll become Roby Island.
Well played.
How about that, right? Come on. That was good.
That's a professional transition
right there.
That was good, right?
Man, you did a great job, show.
That was sexy, right?
Look, he's proud of himself.
That's right. Hot dog.
Hey.
Not Brian, let me stop you right there.
You've had a bunch of co-hosts lately, Clint. I don't know how many would have picked it up like
No doubt.
Show just did, baby.
Look, you're elite. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I am being dead serious.
You are
correct.
You know how my wife and mom would laugh right now if you just said that to me? You're elite. Ain't that the damnedest that's supposed to support you like hell are the ones that
Hey, Teresa's falling out of the chair right now.
Shut up, elite my ass. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. I raised him okay, but he leaked my ass.
I still don't know how he got this damn job.
Hey, Linda's sitting at home right now. She's wanting to call in. Let me give you five examples off the top of my head how his ass ain't elite. There ain't no doubt.
Oh, God. Oh, we expect to hear from Bradley Roby coming up here as he speaks to the media for the first time. We haven't heard from him. Much like Titus Howard, he missed some time last year, and you saw the difference in the Texans' defense. And I'd argue, we all know J.J. Watt's the most important player on this defense, Clint. But I think second, it's either Roby, Cunningham, or Reed. And I think because of the position he plays, I think Bradley Roby is the second most important player on this defense.
Oh, I think it's fair. I think that's really fair. And if you when you combine the two, if they can stay healthy, boy, you talk about that particular unit. Like if Bradley Roby stays healthy, you go Bradley Roby, Gerrion Conley, in a combination of Lonnie Johnson, maybe even Hargraves, depending on if he comes around or not. You know, you've got the ability to cover down on some folks. You got the ability to force a quarterback to hitch two or three times, hold the ball a little bit longer than he typically does, which will help J.J. Watt. There's no doubt about it that J.J. Watt's sheer presence every week has quarterbacks getting the ball out early and sometimes getting the ball out without getting a really clean pre-snap look. And when that happens, J.J. Watt is helping Bradley Roby make big-time plays. So they're really, really, you know, I'd say 1A, 1B, the importance of what those guys bring to the table. But, man, when you got them together, they're complementary of each other and can really be good.
Yeah, Bradley Roby, we'll be speaking to the media coming up. We'll go out to him real quick, Clint. Pete Thamel, who broke the Big Ten news earlier, and the Pac-12 has canceled their football season as well, their fall football season. So as we've said yesterday, whatever the Big Ten does, I would imagine that the Pac-12 would follow suit. So they have canceled their fall season, and they will attempt to play in the spring just like the Big Ten. You wonder who's next, because I'm telling you, we talked about it, the ACC and the SEC will hold on for a long time. We'll see what the Big 12 does. Maybe they are the ones who come out with something next. I'm not sure. But the Big 10 and the Pac-12 today have canceled both of their fall sports seasons and will attempt to play football in the spring.
Yeah, which, again, I'll tell you, I don't know how that makes sense. I mean, you talk about a spring league and the risk of playing two full seasons of college football in, golly, is that 8 or is that less than 8 months? Nonetheless, in it's less than 12 months, that's for damn sure. I think it's playing two full seasons in an eight-month span. There's got to be some risk associated with that. You're probably going to lose the majority of your big-name players. If that have, like Justin Fields would be a fool to play a spring league
with a draft coming up
with – in order to put himself, because you're talking about a top five pick, and you're talking about a top five pick.
Him and Trevor Lawrence probably should just focus on the draft.
Yeah, those are two guys that if you don't play football in the fall, man, you just say screw it and you go to the draft and you get ready, because it's like Burrow this year. I mean, Burrow, once his season was over, you start focusing on being an NFL quarterback and playing. Getting snaps at the NFL level, you don't just come fresh off the football field out of the Ohio State system and 2 days later is a draft and then all of a sudden you're trying to make a team when you're still trying to recover from the college season. There are just – to think that, oh, let's push this thing back to spring, there's going to be as many problems in spring as there are right now.
Yeah, it is. So Pac-12 and Big Ten canceled their football seasons in the fall and look to push them in the spring. But – good news. Let's head out to NRG. Texans cornerback Bradley Roby goes to the podium and speaks to the media.
Just your thoughts on being back with these guys and signing a long-term deal this offseason.
I'm very happy, very excited for another year. Of last year, it was kind of we were grabbing guys from different teams and things like that during the season, trying to get a cohesiveness down. But now, you know, we have a full year in together, and I think that's only going to help us. You know, we're coming together as a unit now and not just a whole bunch of guys, you know, strung together.
Bradley, how much is not being able to do full contact stuff over the, you know, between OTAs and the preseason? How much is that impacting you guys as a defense?
I think, it affects everyone in the league. You know, everyone in the league would like those practices, especially OTA practices, especially for the younger guys. I think that is who it helps the most is the rookies and the second-year players to really understand the defense and know their place and their assignments and things like that. So I think it's just a hurdle that, you know, the whole league has to deal with.
Hey, Bradley, I'm not sure how much exactly your paths have crossed with them because of the staggered schedules and stuff, but what's been your early impression of John Reed?
So far, John Reed seems like a very smart guy. very smart guy on and off the field. You could tell he's eager to learn. You know, I see things here and there, and I let him know, and I watch him to see if he's going to, you know, implement it, and he's doing it. And I think he's doing a great job of being a rookie, staying humble, and just trying to learn as much as possible.
Bradley, now that Jonathan Joseph is gone, do you feel like you're the OG in the locker room now as far as the secondary is concerned?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm just definitely the oldest guy and more experienced, most experienced. And I definitely feel like it's my job to lead the guys and lead us to be better than we've been in the past. You know, my goal is to be a whole lot better than we've been over the past couple of years. So that's my plan. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can to, you know, help everyone, including the safeties as well. You know, trying to get on the same page with Jay Reed, working out with him a lot this offseason. You know, just kind of getting that bond together. Because one thing I know about secondary is you have to be a tight-knit group, you know, on and off the field. So I think I'm trying to build that as much as possible.
Bradley, what's it like teaming up with Garyon, who's now active, and both being former Buckeyes and getting to play together here in Houston?
It's super cool for me, you know, because when I was at Ohio State, he was my little brother. So, you know, your last year at Ohio State, you have to get a rookie or a freshman, and he has to be your little brother, and he goes around with you and stays in the same hotel as you, you know, on the World Games and stuff. You know, he was my little brother, so fast forward, you know, 6-7 years, you know, for us to be on the same team, it's pretty special. And like I said, you know, secondary is all about that connection you guys have, and we have that. So, you know, he looks up to me, and, you know, it's fun to play with him, man. It's just fun to play with guys that you're friends with, and it's not just – it doesn't seem like a job then. It seems like, you know, you're a group that's out to accomplish big things.
Follow-up, Aaron.
Just one follow-up. Yeah, unfortunately, shortly before the call, you may have seen the Big Ten Conference. They voted to postpone fall sports, so they will not have football. That's a final decision that they've announced. Just your thoughts on that and kind of the fallout from that, and a lot of uncertainty with college football in general right now, including the Big Ten Conference.
I was kind of upset, you know, especially a Big Ten doing it first. You know, I would rather see one of the other conferences do it first. You know, I like to talk trash a little bit about Big Ten. You know, that I'm from the South, so everyone I know always talks about SEC. So it would have been good to see them kind of give it up first. But to me, I understand it. I think that college athletes, you know, will be surrounded by a student body of 40,000, 50,000 people, you know, at some schools. And, you know, it might not be easier to control them, I guess you would say, you know, control their distancing, you know. We're professionals, and, you know, we get tested every day, things like that. So I think as a professional, it might be a little easier to, you know, have that discipline off the field compared to, you know, an 18, 19, 20-year-old. So I understand it. It's unfortunate. You know, I love to see, you know, Ohio State, you know, whoop ass every year, but, you know, we'll take a year off.
Titus spoke earlier about how important it is in the spring to be able to, you know, go to those combines and be able to have those private workouts. With you know, college football moving to the spring now, do you think it's going to be harder for those players trying to, you know, get into the draft?
Definitely, definitely. That was the first thing I thought about. I'm like, man, what if I was coming out, you know, and I was a junior, about to get ready to be a senior, ready to prove everything, and then all of a sudden there's no season. You know, that would kind of suck. I always have to put myself in other people's shoes. So, no, when you think about that, it's like, I have no idea how they're going to be able to sort out who's who and things like that. So it'll be very interesting how it moves forward. And, you know, luckily that's not my job to figure it out.
Okay, thanks for the time, Bradley.
That's Bradley Roby. We said second most important player on the defense behind J.J. Watt. He speaks to the media. The big thing is, you know, sometimes you forget about guys' relationships, and him and Garyon Conley, they've known each other for a long time at Ohio State. And we just heard about Titus Howard talking about working with Laramie Tunsil. This could be big, too. We talked about how important Garyon Conley could be. Those two being on the same page, probably working out together, probably knowing each other a lot well, good communication there. That tandem could be really, really huge and allow Anthony Weaver to do a lot of things defensively.
Yeah, they're definitely important to what the success that this defense can have. And as you mentioned, the new defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, Anthony Weaver, I mean, he's a guy that he's banking on Bradley Roby big time this year in 2020. He's what a defensive coordinator can do when you've got a lockdown corner, whether you're going to the extreme of going, hey, we're playing, you know, maybe it's a team with a one really good receiver that you just can't let beat you, Bradley Roby. If the game plan is the best game plan that Anthony Weaver has that week, if that is man-to-man defense and Bradley Roby can follow him all over the field, Roby is capable of doing that. Roby has not always traveled with the Houston Texans. If I remember correctly, Romeo Crennel didn't travel corners, and they didn't follow receivers the majority of the time. But if Anthony Weaver does want to do that with Bradley Roby, he can do that. If in a perfect world, J.J. Watt is and company is dialing up pressure, Bradley Roby is the guy that doesn't just break on the ball and get the pass breakup. He gets the pick. He gets the pick six like you saw in the last game of the regular season, or week 16 of the regular season against the Bucks. He gets the pick six versus Jameis Winston because Winston left it on the back shoulder on a speed cut out route. You know, that's the kind of guy Bradley Roby can make quarterbacks pay for poor decisions, obviously, misreads, and just, you know, a lack of accuracy, misses with the ball. And Bradley Roby can make you pay for that. And the secondary, as a secondary goes, for sure, it starts and stops with Bradley Roby.
It's interesting, Clint, as we're discussing, Bradley Roby just spoke to the media for the first time as we start training camp here in Houston. It's interesting. I ain't going to lie, man. You made me have to watch Bradley Roby a little closer. I'll give you that credit. You made me have to watch Bradley Roby a little closer. And I thought there was a ceiling to Bradley Roby. I thought Bradley Roby is a number two corner. Right, that's what I thought. And I still believe, like, if you were to ask me what tier, I'd say Bradley Roby is a strong number two. If you got Bradley Roby as your second corner, I'd say, damn, you got somebody. If you got somebody better than that, you must be talking about a Patrick Peterson or something like that. I thought there was a ceiling. But I've watched closer, and in particular, the first game against the Chiefs, which the Texans won, and I watched him go up against, really at times, left alone with the best, I think the most difficult guy to prepare for a corner in Tyreek Hill. And there are many plays in that game where he is right there with him in coverage and breaking up plays on the ball. And you can see his speed and his ability to stay with Tyreek Hill. When I watched that and watched some other stuff of him, I thought, there is at least a chance that I could look at Bradley Roby and say, maybe his ceiling isn't just a number two corner. Maybe there is more there to get. Right now, I still think he's in that range, but watching him defend Tyreek Hill and some other things from last year, it made me have to pause on the ceiling of a two corner.
Yeah, look, I think he's a one all day long. I mean, he's not Jalen Ramsey. I mean, let's be honest. Obviously, I'm not in any way, shape, or form putting him in the category of the top five or six corners in this league, but you can win a lot of football games and you can play really good defense and you can call defenses. A defensive coordinator can call defenses with no handcuffs on if Bradley Roby is your number one corner. You know, he's just a guy that, you know, I think he matches up really well with Tyreek Hill because speed, athletic ability, explosiveness, he's not on the same level with those as Tyreek Hill, but he's damn close. And when you look at what would concern you about Bradley Roby is if he's got a man up against Julio Jones. You know, things of that nature now, which I don't know too many DBs in this league that wouldn't have a problem with Julio Jones or wouldn't have a problem with DeAndre Hopkins. But I'm telling you, he's got an elite skill set in terms of this dude plays with most NFL receivers. Like, if you're not a great NFL receiver, he's going to have supreme confidence when he's going against you. His ability to make a mistake and catch up with speed, or his ability to make a mistake and pin you to the sideline with instincts, his ability to climb the ladder and leap and get the ball at the high point or get a pass breakup at the high point, it's as good as anybody in the league. It's a consistency deal. It's a staying healthy deal. He just hasn't taken that step to prove whether he can be one of the best in the league or not. But he's got the skill set now.
You see, Clint, when I watch Bradley Roby, I think of another guy that I think people clearly would say is better than Bradley Roby, or at least thought of to be, is Darius Slay. If there's not a difference between those two guys, there's not that big of a difference between those two guys. Like you said, I don't think he's on the Ramsey level. I would say Patrick Peterson, but I think he's taken a step back. I used to think he was in that first class. But I wouldn't say he's in that top tier. But Darius Slay, which a lot of people have tried to put him in that, I think he is in that and Marcus Peters territory. I don't know. Marcus Peters just has a knack to make plays and find the ball. But just in terms of
corner's hard, though, Show. Like, corner's hard to really start couching guys, you know, in a certain way. Because you look at Richard Sherman. Obviously, he's not one of the more skilled guys in the league, but he's a damn good corner for what he's done in his career, right, and the systems he's been in his career. He's not a guy that's going to follow and match up man-to-man anywhere somebody goes on the field, but he's going to play great in their scheme. He's always had a really good pass rush in front of him, so he's benefited from the things that I just talked about. This secondary can benefit from when J.J. Watt's healthy and the pass rush is there. So you there's just a wide range of corners that have had a ton of success. And when I look at Bradley Roby, I go, he is an elite athlete. Like, it's, when you talk about twitch, explosiveness, the ability to run, and I'm talking about ability to run like real legit track speed to where nobody on the earth intimidates you. Like, you feel like you can run with anybody on the earth. And most guys, you feel like I can make a mistake and maybe bite a double move and I can still catch him over the top. If they're not elite speed, he has that kind of skill set. He's got to stay healthy, and he's just, quite frankly, he's got to go. The guys around him need to stay healthy, and he's got to go out there and have that one season statistically where it jumps off the page at everybody, and they'll put him in that category.
All right, it's time to get your football fix. The very passionate Clint Sterner. Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.